Today's psalm is Psalm 104, verses 24 through 34, 35b. We'll read it responsively. O Lord, how manifold are your works!
In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the great and wide sea, with its living things too many to number.
Creatures both small and great.
There move the ships.
And there is that Leviathan, which you have made for the sport of it.
All of them look to you.
To give them their food in due season.
You give it to them. They gather it.
You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
You hide your face, and they are terrified.
You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust.
You send forth your spirit, and they are created.
And so you renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever.
May the Lord rejoice in all his works.
He looks at the earth and it trembles.
He touches the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live.
I will praise my God while I have my being.
May these words of mine please him.
I will rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
I grew up with asthma. I'm not sure just when it came on, but it was sometime in grade school. I remember days and especially nights of simply trying hard to breathe. A vaporizer would be puffing away in a corner, and at least early on, the smell of Vicks Vapor Rub in my nostrils. If it got bad enough, there'd be what felt like a long, long drive to the emergency room, an even longer wait maybe on a hard chair, and then finally an injection of epinephrine that would begin to loosen my lungs and let me draw in air. Things are different now. Even just 30 years ago, my daughter's asthma was better controlled and managed than mine was. But there were still trips to the ER, rounds of prednisone, and inhaler routines for her to learn. I'm talking about all this because the translation of the psalm we just read together in verses 29 and 30 reminds us, as I said to the children, that in the languages of the Bible, spirit and breath are the same word. And it's more than just a metaphor at work. In verse 29, we heard, you take away their breath, but it's still ruach, and they die and return to the dust. In verse 30, we read, you send forth your spirit, and again, the Hebrew word is ruach, and they are created. Breath and spirit are the same Hebrew word, ruach. And it's kind of fun to say that. The same was true in our reading from Ezekiel 37. God told the prophet to prophesy to the breath, which it was wind translated, but it's all the same word. It's also the spirit. He told the spirit, which is breath, to breathe on those dead bodies that had come back together so they could breathe and live again. What we call the Holy Spirit is there at work, but his work brings literal breath to creation, to human beings. That's why when we consider what God's Spirit does, we need to take account of the breath of living things, especially of human beings. At the beginning of the pandemic, we suddenly became more conscious of breath. Specifically, the possibility of the absence of breath. We learned the key symptom and hazard of COVID-19 is shortness of breath. It can get to the point that those suffering most need extra oxygen or even help from a machine that breathes for them, a ventilator. Lasting damage to lungs that breathe can be one of the ongoing effects, even if one recovers from the disease. To cope with the threat of losing our breath to coronavirus, we've had to accept breathing through a mask. Some of us have struggled with it, finding that a covering over nose and mouth can itself cause one to feel short of breath. I know that feeling from my childhood asthma hospitalizations. The first time an oxygen mask was placed over my face, my unconscious reaction was more panic. It felt like I was being suffocated rather than helped. Yet in Christian love, and in response to the moving of the Holy Spirit, we've put on those masks against the virus so that not only we, but others can breathe. Pentecost today focuses our attention on the Holy Spirit, but it should not turn our minds away from the simple and truly profound matter of literally, physically breathing in this world. As spirit and breath are the same word in Hebrew and Greek in the Bible, spirit includes breath in God's concern for us. If you look over the whole Psalm 104, you'll see it's a celebration of God's creation. The last part, which we read, focuses especially on the living part of that creation. The earth is full of your creatures, says verse 24. Verses 25 and 26 point out that even the ocean and other waters of the world are full of life, not just the dry land. Living things, both small and great, and there's even human beings there on the sea, the psalmist says. There go the ships. Yet verse 27 tells us, these all look to you, to God, to give them their food in due season. Living beings in this world, even all the creeping things innumerable in one translation, are absolutely dependent upon God for the gift of life. When you give to them, says verse 28, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. And then comes verse 29, to which I've already referred, which specifically considers God's gift of breath. If God were to turn away from his creatures, they are dismayed, says the psalmist. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Now we can spiritualize that, and we often do in Christian thinking. Talk about dying spiritually and when we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit enters us and gives us new spiritual life. But this psalm and Ezekiel remind us today that God not only gives us invisible, intangible spirit in this world, he gives the world, he gives us literal breath. Pentecost concludes the season of Easter in the church year. But when we turn from Easter to Pentecost, we're not turning away from that glorious story of how Jesus rose physically from the dead in order to focus on some sort of non-physical, spiritual hope for us and for the rest of the world. No, the Holy Spirit was given to inspire Christians to keep on preaching the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead in their bodies, just as Peter did on Pentecost just a bit further on in Acts 2, verse 24. God raised him up. Those bones got covered with flesh in Ezekiel and then filled with breath so they could rise and live again. Verse 30 of this psalm says, when you send forth your spirit, your breath, God's breath, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Peter in Acts 2:32 proclaimed, this Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. And he goes on to say in the next verse that when Jesus was raised and exalted, he had received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. That promise of the Spirit is genuine, physical, walking around, breathing in and out, life. It's breath. That's why I feel I have to talk about painful subjects today. Not just people who can't breathe because of asthma or COVID-19, but people who cried out, "I can't breathe," as life was being taken from them. In 2014, Eric Garner spoke those words 11 times while held in a chokehold by New York police officer Daniel Pantaleo. Following Garner's death, "I can't breathe" became a rallying cry for Black Lives Matter protesters. But that still didn't keep George Floyd from having to say the same words multiple times during the 9.5 minutes ex-police officer Derek Chauvin knelt on his neck before he died. And close to home here, not long after that, Johnny, a young man, Black man from Haiti, whom many of us know and love, and for whom we prayed this morning, wrote on Facebook, "Please let me keep breathing when I visit America." If the Holy Spirit is also breath, if God wants people on this earth to live and breathe, we have to reckon with these things, with those willing to take the breath from a person just because of his race or color or some other supposed difference. Unless you think what I just said is some sort of political statement to endorse a particular party, I'll also say that the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is also breath, means not denying life to those who've yet to draw even one breath in this world. The first breaths of every child are the precious gift of God. No one has the right to take those away. Let us be moved by the Spirit then to say Black lives and breath matter, while also insisting that the lives and future breath of unborn infants matter. It'll also say that just preventing deaths, stopping the taking of breath, is not the whole of it, whether it's through police reform or the ending of abortion. If we truly believe that through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has come into the world to give life and breath to the world, then we'll work toward a world, we will seek the kingdom of God where Black lives have room to breathe, where they can flourish and prosper as well as white lives do. We'll also seek the kingdom of God where all babies have food, housing, education, and health care to keep on breathing strong into old age. There are other matters of spirit and breath in this psalm today. As I said, it's about God's care for his whole creation. It's about his delight in everything he made. There at the end of the psalm, God rejoices. He's happy in what he's made. And the fisherman in me leaps with joy as I read those words in verse 26 about the ocean. And in one translation, the Leviathan you formed to sport in it, or that God made for the sport of it. Leviathan's a strange, maybe mythical monster that seems to represent evil incarnate at points in Scripture. And yet here that beast is made by God to sport, to play in the depths of the waters the Lord created. God loves his world, loves everything he made. He wants it all to sport, to play, to enjoy the life that he breathes into it through the Holy Spirit. Which is why you and I as Christians must also consider what we do, which may take breath from the world itself, from all the life in it. Let us think about what we burn and pour into the air that hurts breathing. Whatever you think about climate change, I will testify that human beings do make a difference to the air of this world. One cause of my childhood asthma was growing up near Los Angeles in the 1960s. The air there was worse then. Cars had no pollution control. When the wind was still or blew the wrong way, it was hard to breathe, not just for me, but for millions of people. It's still that way in many places because of what human beings do, places like Beijing. Human consumption of fossil fuels is the cause. I don't know exactly what the psalm means in verse 32 when it says God touches the mountains and they smoke. But God does not want you and I to fill the air with smoke. And I'm going to just keep going here and get myself in more trouble by going back to the subject of COVID-19 and the saving of life and breath from that threat. For Christians, wearing a mask or getting vaccinated are not mere personal choices and decisions for ourselves alone. We do those things out of Pentecost conviction that the Holy Spirit of God comes to bring life and breath to this world, not just for us, but for everyone around us. As Peter says in Acts 2:39, the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord God calls to him. If we say we believe in the Holy Spirit and a promise which is for everyone, but then refuse, with no good medical reason, to get vaccinated for the sake of others, then what we say is not the Spirit. It's just hot air. As we celebrate the invisible, intangible gift of the Spirit this Sunday, let us not forget to thank God for the very, very tangible gift of air that flows in and out of human beings, out of human lungs. Let us join in the work of the Spirit, which wants to bring breath to those lungs, no matter the color of skin that surrounds them or whether they're still waiting to take a breath. Let us work for room to breathe in this world for all people, whether it's infants or elders, Palestinians or Israelis, or indigenous peoples in our own country, whether it's those who take their breaths in a wheelchair or from an oxygen tank. Yes, I know, it may sound like I'm mixing things up. We typically think that the Holy Spirit is wholly spiritual. We suppose the Spirit is all about eternal life and about our own spirit soaring off into heaven when physical life is done. Here I am, blending ordinary life on earth with all of that, mixing up physical health with spiritual life, politics with religion, salvation in Jesus with saving the planet. But this psalm and Ezekiel teach us those things all belong together. I'm not mixing them up. I'm trying to put them back together. It's spirit and breath. You and I and the people around us are made to draw in the grace of God and draw in the air of this world. In our gospel reading, Jesus said in John 16:13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." All the truth means all the truth, not just about life in the world to come, but about life in the world we inhabit right now. And the Holy Spirit comes to pour breath and life into this world now, not just someday. We receive and join the Spirit when we ourselves do that, which brings breath and life. That's all the truth. The signs of Pentecost show us that the Holy Spirit is spirit and breath. There was a physical wind, as I said to the children. There were flames of fire. There was a miraculous hearing of the gospel, each person in the language which was breathed in and out in the places from which each came. And every once in a while, the Spirit still gives us miracle signs that He cares about every part of us, not just some hidden, incorporeal piece we call soul or spirit. I was about 17 years old, carrying a backpack up a trail in Zion National Park with a group of older Boy Scouts when I felt my asthma coming on. It usually didn't bother me too much away from the murky air of Los Angeles, but that day, I felt my chest tighten and breath shorten as I walked. I started to panic, which I'm told makes things worse, fearing I'd just have to stop, struggle to get back to a car, ruin the trip for everyone. But then I did something that I'd often done before with little effect. I prayed. When I prayed, I thought I heard the Spirit of God answer that time. Just keep going. And so I did, one foot in front of another, breathing really hard and stressed up that slope. And my chest began to loosen, my steps got a little quicker, and before I knew it, I was at the top of a ridge and headed down an easier path on the other side. I was able to breathe well for the rest of the trip. It was a gift to me, and though they didn't know it, a gift to my friends on the trail. They didn't have to nurse me back down and go home early. I call that a tiny miracle in my life. Nothing quite like it has ever happened for me again. I still have a bit of asthma that shows up in the middle of the night sometimes. But the gift of breath the Spirit gave me that single time reminds me that He's not just Spirit. He is breath. He cares about and fills my whole self, including my lungs, just as He cares about and fills the lungs of all creatures, especially the human ones on earth. I hope maybe you can point to some little work of the Holy Spirit like that in your life, maybe something bigger, maybe nothing at all. I pray that the Lord has or will give you some sign of His Spirit. But this is my witness that He does care about breath. We receive His Spirit and breath, and we're called to invite others around us to breathe Him in with us. On Pentecost, the Spirit came to send the apostles and send you and me out into the world with the good news of new life and new breath through the grace of Jesus Christ. And we share that breath by telling someone about Jesus or inviting them into the community of God's people. We also share that breath by standing up with those who may have breath stolen from them, by receiving a vaccine that will save not only our breath, but that of others, and by doing what we can not to pollute the air we all breathe on this earth. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. It's all the breath of God filling you and me as we care for both His Spirit and His breath. Holy Spirit, come and fill us today by the grace of Jesus Christ, who gave up His breath for a little while so that we might all breathe forever in the love of God the Father. Amen.